Audacity. The Friday Caribbean News Roundup, our lead story, an opportunity for Jamaicans to emigrate to Canada. I'm Ken Richards. A new opportunity for Jamaicans seeking to migrate to Canada. Reeling from the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, the Canadian government has renewed its call for more migrants between 2023 and 2025. The need comes as the government seeks to fill labor shortage gaps. CVM News in Kingston has this report.
Immigration lawyer in Canada, Makeda Bramwell, says the Canadian government is now providing options for Jamaicans who want to immigrate. She encourages persons to take charge of the opportunity.
If you're a young person looking to migrate to Canada, this is one of the times that you need to apply. There are many different ways that you can apply. Reach out to me. I'd be happy to do an immigration assessment with you and to guide you as to which one of the programs is right for you, because not all the programs are going to be right for everybody.
She notes scores of people are now leaving Jamaica for economic, professional, and educational opportunities. Bramwell says starting the application process is paramount.
Get an immigration assessment from a professional. If it is that you can't afford a professional, then certainly you can be guided by looking on the Canadian immigration website at canada.ca. And there are some of the programs that are listed on it. It can be quite complex, but if it is that you can navigate that, that certainly is one way to start that.
She adds the government of Canada has over 80 different programs, stressing that persons can seek the most suitable offer. Nicola Brown, CVM Live.
As Antigua's general election inches towards the 18th of January poll, the Democratic National Alliance, the DNA, is calling for a holistic approach to immigration reform. Its position follows the promises being made by the country's two major political parties. More on this from Observer Radio.
The United Progressive Party recently announced its intention to waive work permit fees for CARICOM nationals and persons from the Dominican Republic resident in Antigua and Barbuda as part of a piece of legislation called the One Caribbean Act. And a few days later, the government, formed by the Antigua and Barbuda Labour Party, announced that those said work permits would be waived for those foreign nationals effective January 1st this year. The DNA's spokesperson on finance, Anthony Stewart, says that while citizens from other islands are welcomed, native Antiguans and Barbudans should not be left out of the equation.
We in the DNA say that any immigration policy must be a fair policy. Any immigration policy must look at everybody and treat them fairly. But we say any immigration policy must consider the Antiguans and Barbudans. And if it's a 60-40 or 55-45, we say we have to make sure that Antiguans and Barbudans are considered in that immigration policy.
Struggling Haiti will receive special IMF aid to alleviate the food emergency in the country, reports Telesur.
The announcement was made by Prime Minister Henry, although without specifying whether the country would make any kind of commitment to the fund. Under the Food Shock Window program, the Caribbean country will begin to receive the resources next week. The IMF webpage explains that this program grants financial support for 1 year exclusively to solve the food emergency. Ukraine is another beneficiary of the program, although Henry assured that Haiti will be the first to receive it.
After a year of unprecedented crisis, what next for Haiti? Among international media looking at that issue is Al Jazeera. It reports that from gangs to fuel shortages to a cholera outbreak, Haiti is grappling with ongoing setbacks as a new year begins. Canada is to send armored vehicles to the Haitian government. The vehicles come as Haiti contends with surging levels of gang violence, particularly in the capital, Port-au-Prince. In St. Lucia, veteran journalist Earl Bouski says CARICOM must have a major role in resolving the crisis currently affecting Haiti and preventing potential military intervention. Toward the end of last year, Prime Minister Ariel Henry wrote to the grouping asking for assistance. Heads of government in response expressed their willingness to facilitate meaningful dialogue and consensus building among Haitian stakeholders to support efforts at resolving the situation in the country. Here's DBS TV St. Lucia.
To fully understand the nation's present woes, its history must be examined, says veteran journalist Earl Buskey. What has been done to Haiti throughout the years in the name of the race for wealth is a deep wound rooted in a brutal colonial past.
Haiti's troubles revolve around an accumulation of all of those historical wrongs, which have included several invasions, particularly by the United States of America, which through the bank known as Citibank today, back then was part of the looting of the treasures of Haiti. The fact that Haiti has now been discovered in the 21st century to be sitting on oil and gold, quite apart from we know it's sitting on tectonic plates. You have a rush ever since the turn of the century for particularly American and European companies, governments, families and establishments to establish an external presence in Haiti, particularly in those areas known to contain gold, oil, and other precious minerals that will help liberate Haiti from the poverty that has attended its history.
Haiti's situation, says Buskey, also stems from racial tensions. January 1st marked 219 years since Haiti became the first independent black republic outside Africa. It was the world's only successful slave revolt. The republic was founded with a constitution which called for freedom of religion and for all citizens to be known as black to dispel color hierarchy.
Police in Dominica are reported to be investigating a mysterious death of a 13-month infant. Nature Isle News says, according to confirmed reports from the police, the infant was at a daycare and was taken to the Dominica China Friendship Hospital on January 10, 2023, and was later pronounced dead by a medical doctor. Reports are that the infant was brought to the daycare in good health. According to Nature Isle News, the police are conducting interviews with the parents of the infant and the daycare. In Barbados, a government-led program aimed at eliminating gang feuds and reducing retaliation killings is already bearing fruit, with some people turning away from criminal activity, reports Barbados Today. And that is according to Minister of State in the Office of the Attorney General with responsibility for crime prevention, Corrie Lane, who asserted on Tuesday that lives were being saved under the one-month-old direct intervention program. When it comes to visitors, some of them have been interviewed. They have been saying that they are not alarmed by a stabbing incident. The tourists say they still feel safe in Barbados, despite last week's stabbing of a female American visitor on a popular beach.
It's a bit unnerving, and we're fine. We walk most places in the evening, stick to the main road, and we take the ZRs. But it's just a bit unnerving because there's a lot of crime on the island anyway, so you just don't want it to move on to the tourists because it will keep them away.
I feel very safe. We've been walking around, shopping, eating, doing tourist things, and we've been fine. We went up to Hunt's Garden. We used the local buses. We went to Spitestown. It was great. I love it, right? It's a lovely place. And people have been very, very friendly and also, you know, very willing to help, right? With directions, with advice, whatever. Yeah, so it's been good.
You know, I mean, we've been prudent, that's all. And that's true no matter where you are.
I generally think that Barbados has the balance right.
And that's the Caribbean News Roundup. I'm Ken Richards.